high plus lactic in this planet. Actually, it says here, colder temperatures approach. Many may worry that their children may catch a common cold or influenza. By far, no doubt about it. But it says many don't know about another contagious and common virus that is contracted by nearly, I'm sorry, all infants by the age of two. It's respiratory, doctor, help me here. How do I say it?
Respiratory syncytial virus.
Okay, RSV. It's a leading cause of hospitalization for infants in the United States during their first year of life by 2 years old. But okay, and we have Jennifer Deagle. Did I say that right, Jennifer?
Jennifer Deagle, yeah.
And you're a mother and a passionate advocate for RSV, and Dr. Mitchell Goldstein of Loma Linda University Children's Hospital. And so, Dr. Goldstein, what are we speaking about here?
So we're talking about RSV, or respiratory syncytial virus, which is at times a really serious concern. It is the leading cause of admission for babies under a year of age. Babies who are born prematurely, that is 37 weeks or less weeks of gestation, are at increased risk for having more severe infection, and that's what we're here to talk about today.
Okay, and Jennifer, did you have a baby that has gone through this?
I had a baby at 23 weeks gestation in 2012. She was considered a micro preemie, weighing just 1 pound and 4 ounces. And immediately she was brought to the NICU, where she spent the next 4 months. A lot of ups and downs, you know, mostly downs for the several weeks, almost 2 months. And then when she started to grow and we started to make plans to bring her home, we learned about this disease called RSV that she could actually contract in our home, you know, after being discharged. And that disease would be particularly dangerous for babies like my daughter because she has compromised lungs from her premature birth and could likely put her back in the hospital for several weeks. So we did a lot of research, we talked to our pediatrician, we made a lot of changes in her home, and we were very, very lucky that we were able to prevent her from getting RSV, but that's not the case for many families, unfortunately, which is why we're here to spread awareness today.
Okay, and this is an awareness month for RSV. Doctor, what are some of the signs and symptoms that we should know about?
So there are a number of signs and symptoms, but in particular, we're more concerned about signs and symptoms in babies. So if you have a baby who's less than 3 months of age and that baby has a temperature of 100.4 degrees or greater, if that baby has any kind of breathing issues, say cough, wheeze, breathing hard, anything that would suggest that the baby is losing interest in eating or just, you know, kind of listless or lethargic or tired. These are the kinds of things that when put together might mean that that baby is at a risk for RSV.
So, 104 is a fairly high temperature, right? 1, 2, 3, you go to a doctor, you go to emergency room, what do you do?
Well, it's 100.4. I stumbled on that, I apologize. But what you would want to do is you would want to have that baby assessed by the pediatrician, and if it's after hours, to bring that baby to an emergency room, especially if there are any blue undertones around the mouth or, for that matter, on the fingertips. It's something that I think that parents, you know, on the one hand, they look at this and they say, well, this is just like a cold. But in fact, if it's RSV and if the baby was born prematurely, it could be the sign of something more severe and more concerning. So I would encourage parents to have their baby evaluated because, again, it's one of the best ways to make sure that this doesn't have more severe lasting effects.
And what do they do at the hospital? How do they treat this? What's the first thing?
Well, the first thing is an evaluation. And so you have a qualified physician or clinician who would evaluate the baby, do a good thorough physical exam. They would assess the amount of oxygen that's actually entering into the baby's circulation. They would also assess whether the baby would need any additional medications to help breathe. And there are medications that can be used to help that baby breathe. It's important that that baby be assessed because if the need for oxygen or if the need for medications to help the baby breathe can be established, that baby would need to be hospitalized and need to be observed for a period of time for the RSV infection.
Jennifer, let me ask you a question. I mean, to have a premature baby, how does a parent deal with that to begin with, day one?
You know, there's not one particular answer for that. It's a very difficult situation, you know, different for every family. Some babies in the hospital for a short time, some are in the NICU for much longer. But I think the shared fears once coming home, no matter how long the baby was in the hospital, around RSV are the same. And for parents that are nervous, the best thing to do is to talk to their pediatrician, ask questions. But even in your own home, you can make some changes, you know, frequent hand washing, wash your own hands before you touch your baby, have siblings wash their hands. We had our older children change their clothes when they got home from school to minimize some germs coming in. We frequently would wipe down like the refrigerator handle, doorknobs, you know, computer screens, things that are shared. And we also had to have a couple of conversations with our, you know, our family and friends, asking them politely, but also telling them that if they're ill, please don't come to our home to visit the baby. You know, we love you. We want to share this with you. We're sorry that we weren't able to be with our baby the first couple of months because of the baby being in the hospital. But you can't enter our home unless you're healthy. And even a tiny tiny bit of a runny nose, which you may not think yourself as being sick, could have some serious consequences on premature babies like my daughter or any newborn, quite frankly. So it's educate yourself, have the conversations, and be an advocate.
Uh-huh. Okay. Dr. Goldstein, quick question.
Sure.
How come your children is a doctor? What brought you to become a children's doctor specifically?
Well, I'll tell you, it's for me, it was keeping an open mind. And, you know, when I first started out in medical school, I didn't think that I could be a pediatrician, but I came to love it. I thought it was the best thing in the world. And then when I was in my pediatric residency, I didn't think that I could take care of the neonates, the really small ones. But when I did it, I fell in love with it. And I guess you could say it's just going where I was supposed to go and, you know, developing where my interests were, and it's something that I've never regretted.
And Jennifer, you're a happy mom?
I'm a happy mom. My daughter's 5 years old. She has some, you know, some lung issues, but she's doing great. So thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you both very much. Is there a website, or how can people
Sure.
find some more information?
Yeah, there's, again, we encourage people to go to their pediatrician and to get information. But also, there is a website, Little Lungs. That's one word, littlelungs.com.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you both very much. Very important information.
Thank you for
Take
having
care.
Us.
Thank you.